Well, good morning, church family. It is a pleasure to be with you guys once again as we come back together this week in worship. Whether we are here physically or at home in the comfort of our own homes, we still get to come together and worship in spirit and in truth, and that in itself is a true joy. So thank you guys for tuning in and joining us once again this week. And if you're joining us for the first time, we do want to give a special welcome and thanks for joining us this morning. I hope you guys have enjoyed the service so far. But speaking of this morning, this is actually a very special morning here at First Baptist Church in Columbus because this is a morning that we get to honor seven of our own students who are graduating the class of 2020. And it's kind of crazy that the 2019-2020 school year is coming to a close and we're about to celebrate yet another senior class. But guess what, seniors? This message this morning goes out to you. So I hope you guys enjoy. But before we go any further in the service, I would like to stop and pray for our time together and also for our graduating class of 2020. So let us pray. Lord, we just come before you now and we just thank you for this time that we get to spend together studying your word. Whether we are here in person or at the comfort of our own homes, Lord, we still get to study your word together in spirit. And for that, we are very, very thankful. This is a true picture of what the church looks like, of how no matter where we are at, we still are the body of Christ. So, Lord, we are so very thankful. But, Lord, I do pray for our service this morning as we study your word and as we give a special message to the graduating seniors of 2020. I just pray, Father, that you will not only speak to us as a congregation, but you will speak specifically to the seniors as we study your word. Lord, I do pray for them. I lift them to you now as they are ending a chapter in their life here in Columbus and beginning a new chapter elsewhere, whether they're staying here or going out to college, Father. I just pray that you'll have a special hand of blessing upon them and that you'll give them peace. But Lord, I just pray that you'll also just be with me as I give the message this morning. I just pray that you'll allow your word to speak through me, Father. But Lord, we just lift this time to you now. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but in every person's life, there comes a season of change or transition. And there's nothing we can do about it. It's inevitable. Some changes are subtle while others are more obvious. Some are even sudden, dramatic, or even traumatic. But needless to say, we all experience it. No matter your age, your race, your gender, or religious views, we all experience change, whether we like it or not. But the big question is this. Is how are we going to answer or respond to the change or transition in our life? How are we going to receive it? Now, there's many people in the world that don't take change well. And if you fit in this category, you're probably sitting at home saying amen. The idea of change brings about anxiety, stress, or worry. But they love the idea of consistency and comfort. And let me tell you something about your comfort place. It is really hard to leave once you're there. But on the flip side, however, you have people who thrive on change. They love the unpredictable nature of it, the adventurous side of it, and the excitement that comes along with it. And then you have those who are in the middle who go back and forth with change and how it affects them personally. And I feel like I fit into this category, that depending on what happens, it could have a positive or negative effect on me, depending on what it is. So I feel like I'm pretty flexible. But no matter where you are, and no matter how you fall into these categories, I can't help but think of our graduating seniors of the class of 2020 and the season they just walked through. What a season this has been for them. Talk about out of left field, right? No one could have predicted or expected a pandemic to hit right when it did. Changing the course of their spring semester and final semester of their high school career. I can only imagine what has been going through their minds up to this point. Whether it's anxiety, worry, stress, frustration, or if it even affected them at all. But either way, they have experienced a very sudden, uncomfortable change in season, only to then go on and begin establishing the next season in their life, whether it's college or their career. So this is going to be quite the transition for them. So now, more than ever, I encourage all of us to be praying for them during this next season, and really for all of our students moving forward. But in light of this unpredictable season, I want to take a moment to encourage all of our graduating seniors with this. Though you just walked through a crazy season, the reality of the situation is this, is that we all experience many different seasons in life, whether they are subtle or dramatic, good, bad, fruitful or unproductive. We all face these different seasons. But in the face of it, we must always remember this, that the Lord is sovereign over every season. And I'm sure this doesn't make you feel any better about what you guys just experienced this semester. But the Lord is sovereign over every season, and He knows the paths in which you are now on. And He is not surprised by your circumstances. For as David says in Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2, and also in verse 11, he says this, I awaited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me from the pit of destruction out of the miry bog and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and faithfulness, you will preserve me. So what a message of hope we see here of God's steadfast love and faithfulness towards His people here by David. And how the Lord will incline His ear to us, and that He will hear our cry, and that He will bring us up out of the pit of destruction and out of the miry bog, only to set our feet upon a rock, making our steps secure. And not only that, but He will not restrain His mercy or His steadfast love or His faithfulness from us, but only preserve us. He will be there to lead you and to guide you every step of the way. It is just up to you to remember to remain faithful and to trust in His steadfast love in every season, always. And we see this all throughout Scripture of different men and women who lead by example in this and remaining faithful to God's steadfast love and faithfulness. And we also see how the Lord had provided for them, such as Noah, when the Lord commanded him to build the ark and how he remained faithful in building the ark. And what about Sarah and how Sarah had faith in God and that he would allow her to conceive at an old age? Or what about Abraham and how Abraham put his faith in God to establish his lineage through his offspring Isaac? What about Joseph after being sold into slavery by his brothers and how he remained faithful to the Lord to bring him out of that season of bondage and slavery? And what about Moses and how God commanded Moses to go and to deliver his people from the hands of the Egyptians and how Moses remained faithful and he actually delivered them out of Egypt going into the promised land? And what about David and how David believed that he could beat Goliath when no one else thought he could? Or what about how David also believed that God would bring him out of the hand of Saul in the wilderness? What about these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And how in the face of being thrown into the fiery furnace, they believed that God would deliver them, and He did. And one more, what about Daniel? And how Daniel, in light of being thrown into the lion's den, knew that it would be better to remain faithful to the Lord than to turn away from Him. And the list can go on and on and on. But what we see here is this, is that all these individuals put their faith in God. And God provided according to His steadfast love and His faithfulness. And God is going to provide for you and for us if we remain faithful to Him, as He did with those who have gone before us. But how do we go about doing this? How are we able to practically, by faith, walk in God's steadfast love? Well, we will see just that through the event of Peter in Matthew 14, verses 22 through 23. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn there for me and follow along. But that's where we'll be focusing today. But first of all, I do want to explain something, that in every new season that we face in our life, it is a new call from the Lord. And so and what we see here in this passage is that we find several practical ways through the event of Peter walking on water, of how we can remain faithful to God's call according to His steadfast love. So let's read this together, beginning there in verse 22. It says, immediately He made the disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side. That's Jesus telling the disciples to go to the other side after dismissing the 5,000. And after picking up here, verse 23 says, "And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" So as we look at this passage, now as we start to pull out different practical ways of how we can remain faithful to the steadfast love of God, first I want to look at the disciples and the example that they set for us in this season. Because you got to remember, they did not always follow Jesus. If you can recall, they were just all minding their own business one day when Jesus just kind of came into the picture and called out to them, say, "Hey, I want you to drop whatever you're doing, and I want you to come and follow after me." And this is a pretty dramatic move. They chose to have accepted. And guess what? They did. They accepted it, and we see that here. And in light of this new calling in their lives, they had a choice to make, though. They had a choice to either face the call or to turn away from it, which leads me to the first point. When we hear the Lord calling us, we must face or recognize the call. And so just like the disciples and how they had to make a decision on either facing the call or turning away from the call, we too must make that same decision. We must face the call. But the disciples never quite imagined how this next season would turn out for them. And we see that played out here in this passage in verses 24 and 25. And if you can recall with me, this is actually not the first time that we see them in this situation where they're in a boat in the middle of the water being tossed by the sea. And if you recall with me in chapter 8, just a few chapters earlier, they were in the same situation. They were out in the water, except this time Jesus was with them. And the storm came upon them and started tossing the boat back and forth. And they came to the point where they became so afraid that they reached out to Jesus, because Jesus at this point was sleeping in the boat, minding his own business. So they cried out to him and said, "Lord, save us." And Jesus saves them and he calms the sea. But in this situation, as they were crossing over the lake, Jesus was not with them. And so this is a very different situation. However, we will see very shortly that Jesus is not as far off as they think. So picking up here in verse 26, though, I want you to imagine with me real quick, though, that not only were the disciples facing a harsh sea once again, but now, out of nowhere, what we see here in verse 26 is that there appears this ghostly figure that is walking on the water, because the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus at this time. And so you have to imagine, this is very much a nightmare situation for the disciples. You can only imagine what's going through their head, right? Of, man, we're sitting in the middle of this water on a boat that's being tossed by the sea, and now there's a ghost walking towards us on the water. What else can go wrong, right? It's kind of ironic, though, because it sounds familiar to us and how we're facing COVID-19. But just as things seemed as if like they were at their worst, relief comes, and we see that here in verse 27. We see how Jesus is coming to them, and he responds to them because he sees how their initial response to him is in fear. So we see their initial response is out of fear, and as a result of that, Jesus immediately responds to them saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." So Jesus reveals himself to them and calms their spirit. But you got to imagine, though, real quick, that this has got to be a very confusing moment for the disciples, because, as I said before, they're sitting in this boat on the water being tossed to and fro, And then they see this ghostly figure, only to come to find out that it is Jesus. So I can only imagine in their mind that they're thinking that this is just the ghost of Jesus and that Jesus is no longer with them, that he is dead. But Jesus, as I said, he comes and he says, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." So what a crazy moment this must have been for the disciples. But as we stop and we look at this situation, as we look at this situation at this point, my question to us is this, is how would we respond or receive a call such as this in our own lives? When the Lord calls us, he calls us just like the disciples. We may be minding our own business one day, but he may appear and call us to do something completely different. And we have to be ready to answer that. We have to be ready to respond to that. And it ultimately brought the disciples to where they are now, where he called them to himself, and then now they find themselves in the middle of the boat, the water, going across the sea, right? And we find ourselves in the same situation where we are in our own boats awaiting the instruction of which direction we should go when we face our call. And sometimes the wind naturally takes us peacefully to our destination, but other times storms brew in our path. And we have to be ready to face them head on, knowing that we can come through them on the other side, despite what may happen in the middle of it. So my question to you is how will you respond in these moments? Will you respond to the call in faithfulness when you face it? Or will you turn away from it and just ignore it and turn away in fear? What we see here, though, is that the disciples choose to respond, and they set a great example for us. And not only that, but we see another great example coming up for us here in verse 28 with Peter, which leads me to the second point, is that after we first face our call, we recognize the call, we make a decision to pursue it, we now have to seek it. And Peter is a great example of that here in verse 28. We see that. He says, "And Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.'" So in the heat of the moment, despite what's going on around him, we see that Peter calls out to Jesus. He sees that it's Jesus, and he seeks the call. He hears Jesus call out to him, and he is now seeking Jesus. And so, which is a great glimpse of faith for us, that will ultimately set the pace for us and how we should respond to Jesus in the midst of our own storms. When we face storms in our life, we must call out to Jesus and seek him, and he will answer. However, we must not only seek the call, but we also must be ready to respond to the call, which leads me to the third point of how we should answer the call. And we see that in verse 29. And it says, after Peter asked him, he says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." We pick up here, verse 29 says, and he said, "Come." Jesus says, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. So what we're seeing here is that he took the first defining steps into the water, ready to do the unimaginable, which Jesus is doing by walking on water. What a moment of faith Peter demonstrates here for us. And not only that, but what a profound moment in Scripture for us to see what it means for us to have faith and the power that comes with it when we believe in faith. Just look at what Jesus says in two other passages. In Matthew 17, verse 20, it says this about how our faith is powerful. It says, "For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you." And then chapter 21, verses 21 and 22, a very similar passage, Jesus says this, says, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." So when we respond in faith, there is great power and assurance in the steadfast love of God. And what an example Peter sets for us here by acting in faith and taking that first defining step out of the boat, walking towards Jesus and answering the call. But unfortunately for Peter, he also demonstrates for us in this moment how not to respond as well. Which leads me to the next point, point number four, and how we should stay true to our call. And though Peter had great intentions of stepping out and answering the call with great faith, we see here that he did not stay true to his call. We see that here in verses 30 and 31. And it says this, it says, "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?'" So what we see here is that as soon as Peter came to Jesus, we see that he began to get distracted by what was going on around him. And as a result of that, he began to sink. So what an unfortunate moment in Peter after displaying such a moment of great faith for him to turn so quickly away from it. And ironically enough, for him to turn away just because he saw the wind, right? This is a very ironic situation because for those of you guys who know what wind is, all it is just moving air. It's invisible. It's not tangible. You can't see it. You can't touch it. You can only see the effects of the wind, such as the blowing of the trees, or the wind in the sails of a boat or a ship, or wind carrying a kite into the sky. So needless to say, when Peter sees the wind, he is only seeing the effects of the wind, which takes his eyes off the Lord. It's a simple distraction. This is a pretty powerful moment for us, though, because it shows us how easily distracted we can get. If Peter can get distracted while experiencing something as great as walking on water, we don't stand a chance when it comes to the distractions that we have in our own culture today. Because in our own culture today, the struggle is very real. We have so many distractions in front of us that take our focus off the Lord and the calls in which He has in our lives, such as our relationships, like our family, boyfriends, girlfriends, or even our social groups. What about like different social media platforms like Instagram or Snapchat or Facebook, Twitter, or even what seems everyone's favorite right now, TikTok, right? Well, what about like our different demographics, whether it's our racial demographic or our social demographic? Or what about politics or our global news? These are the winds that cause us to sink, just as Peter did. But praise God, however, that Jesus is ready and willing to pull us up out of the deep water as he did with Peter. Because as Peter began to sink, he cries out to Jesus, "Save me!" And what we see here is that Jesus immediately, no hesitation, reaches down and takes hold of him, pulls him up and rescues him. And this holds true for us even today. No matter what season may come, or no matter how bad it may look, Jesus is there and he is ready to pull us out of the deep or out of the thick of the mire. And he is ready to put us back on the solid rock. It just comes down to us seeking after him and staying true to him, staying true to the call. However, it does not mean that we can just turn away from him whenever we want. We must stay true to the call with great faith in the one who is able to guide us through the storms and winds of life. We must prepare ourselves for the winds that will come. So what I mean by that is that when we face new storms or when we face different storms, we can't just pick and choose which ones we want Jesus there for us. We have to stay true in every season, in every call, in every storm. We must remember this as well, that he who calls gives wisdom generously to those who ask when it seems like there's no way out. For it says in James 1, verses 5 and 6, it says this, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind." May we never reject the counsel and wisdom from the Lord that makes straight our paths. We must always remember the faithfulness of the one who calls us. Which leads me to the last point, point five. We must honor the one who calls. And we see that here in verses 32 and 33. It says this, it says, "And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" But I also want to look back at the example which Peter just gives us. And that when we look at this event with Peter, we see a glimpse of whom would become one of the most faithful men to Jesus the church has ever seen. Now, granted, Peter was not a perfect disciple. He definitely had his mistakes, as we see here. He took his eyes off the Lord when experiencing something as great as walking on water. But it's through his mistakes and through moments such as being rebuked by Jesus or the time when he denied him three times, that it's through these moments and seasons in his life that Peter learns more and more and more about the steadfast love and faithfulness of God. And as a result of this, he not only becomes the one in which Jesus will build his church upon, but he will go and live a life of great faithfulness and honor to the Lord because of the faithfulness and the steadfast love of God. He saw what the promises in which he had in the Lord's steadfast love and faithfulness. So what a humbling truth this is for us to recognize. Because how often is our pride and our selfish desires or even our fears, how often do they get in the way and take our focus off the Lord when he calls us to himself? But praise the Lord that he is there every time we fall and we fail to grab us and to pull us up from the water when we begin to sink. And not only that, but he not only pulls us up, but he brings peace to the storms in which we are experiencing, as we see here. So we must remember to humble ourselves and to submit with faithfulness to the Lord in the calls in which he calls us to. For he who calls is faithful. As it says in Hebrews 10, verses 22 and 23, it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful." So in wrapping up, what we see here through the life event of Peter, we see several practical ways for us to walk by faith in the steadfast love of the Father. And we see that when the Lord calls, we must first face the call. We must recognize it and not be afraid of it. And then we must seek the call. We must not be afraid to pursue it. We must seek it. Then we must answer the call. We must be ready to take action and step in faith towards the call. The fourth one is that we must stay true to the call. We must not waver from it. We must keep our eyes on it. We must remain faithful to the call. And lastly, we must honor the one who calls. We must recognize the one who gives the call and trust in his faithfulness, knowing that he is going to deliver us through every season. However, there's one more thing I want to point out to us, though, and that is in verse 33, and that is the response of those who are in the boat after Jesus calms the wind. For it says here, it says, "And when they got back in the boat, the wind was ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" And the reason why I want to point this out is because how quickly are we often to forget to praise the Lord for bringing us through our seasons? We may recognize it for a moment, only then to go on to something else, forgetting what he has done. So my reminder to us and my encouragement to us is that we must remember to praise God for the steadfast love and faithfulness of which he gives us daily. We must praise him. We must not forget the things that he's done for us. And this is why I love reading through the book of Psalms, and I encourage you guys to read through the book of Psalms, because the book of Psalms is saturated with the steadfast love and faithfulness of God. In fact, the book of Psalms mentions the word faithfulness 22 times. But even more powerful than that, the book of Psalms mentions the steadfast love of God 127 times. That's amazing. It's powerful. Just as the different writers of the book of Psalms acknowledges the steadfast love of God, we must also give praise for Him as well. If it is written 127 times in the book of Psalms, that means that it is powerful, and that we must acknowledge it, and that we must give praise to the Lord for His steadfast love for us. But in closing, I want to read one more passage of Scripture to us, and it is actually out of the book of Psalms. But then, ironically enough, though, it does not mention the words steadfast love, but it definitely displays it. It's Psalm 20, and it's a Psalm of David, and it begins here in verse 1. It says this, it says, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of God of Jacob protect you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May He remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May He grant you your heart's desire and fulfill your paths," or fulfill your plans. "May we shout for joy over your salvation, and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving might of His right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. For they collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the King. May He answer us when we call." This is a very powerful picture of us, of David painting a picture of God's steadfast love for us and how He's going to remain faithful to us. So to the graduating class of 2020, I have one final thing to say to you. Please know that we are all very proud of you. We admire you for as you have walked through this very unpredictable, uncomfortable season. But know moving forward that the Lord has planned and established your steps from the very beginning of time, knowing that He was going to use this season to prepare you for what is to come. So it is my prayer that as you enter into this next season or calling on your life, that you'll be ready to not only face the call, but you'll be ready to seek the call. And not only seek the call, but answer the call. And then stay true to your call in which the Lord gives. But most importantly, I pray that you give honor and praise and glory to the One who is calling you, that you'll never forsake it, that you will always remember what the Lord is doing in you and through you, that you will follow after the steadfast love and faithfulness of God. So as we conclude this time together, though, it is my prayer and my encouragement, not only for the graduating class of 2020, but for all of us, that we will, in the same heart's desire, pursue these things, that we will face the call in which God calls us to, and that not only face it, but we will seek it and then answer it and then stay true to it. Because the Lord is calling us all to different callings in our lives, and He is using each and every one of us for different aspects of ministry. And we must be ready to answer the call and to take this next step of faith of what we see here in Peter's life, of him stepping out of the boat when the Lord calls him to come. But unlike Peter, we must stay true to the call. So that way, but most importantly though, we must always give praise to the One who calls us. For He who calls us is faithful, and He cannot deny Himself. So if there is anybody who is watching this or who is listening who does not understand the steadfast love and faithfulness of the Father, my prayer is that you will just come running to Him, that you'll just read His Word, and that you'll see over and over and over again examples of His steadfast love and how He desires to be there for His people. And all we have to do is call out to Him and to turn away from our sin and to accept Him into our life. And he will receive you and pull you out of the darkness in which you've been walking in. So my desire for those of you who do not know who Jesus is to come running to him. He is ready to respond. But church, this is a great calling for all of us to remain faithful to God's steadfast love, because we are the example to those around us. And I also charge that to our seniors, and how as you step into this next season of going to college or starting your career, you are the next wave of leaders and of who's going to be leading our nation, and you're going to be the next wave of examples for those who will be coming up underneath you. So how you choose to respond to God's call and how you choose to remain faithful is going to be profound. So stay faithful to the Lord and allow him to use you in a great and mighty way. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we are just so humbled and grateful for your word, and how time and time again in your word we see your steadfastness and your steadfast love towards your people and your faithfulness, and how despite how ugly and how wicked of a generation we may become, you will never leave us nor forsake us, and that you're there just to pull us out of the miry bog and to set our feet back on a solid rock, as David said. So Lord, I just pray that for anybody who is here or who is listening this morning, who is having doubts or who's having anxiety or worry, stress, Lord, that they may come running to you, knowing that your steadfast love and faithfulness is there waiting for them. So, Lord, I just lift them to you now. And I also lift our graduating seniors to you now. I just pray, Father, that you will just take them and lead them and guide them through this next season, and that you'll use them in a mighty, powerful way for the advancement of your kingdom. But Lord, I also just want to thank you for the honor and privilege it has been to walk alongside them during their high school career. Lord, it's been fun and it's been encouraging to see how they have grown and to be shaped into men and women. And so, Lord, I just again pray that you will just guide them through this next season. But Lord, I'm just so very thankful for our church. I'm thankful for our congregation and just the way that we come together as a body of believers to encourage one another. And I just pray, Father, that we will all remain faithful to you and to the call in which you have placed on our life. Lord, we lift all these things in the name of Jesus, and it's in Christ's name. Amen. Church, know that we love you. We are so thankful for you guys and how you've tuned back in with us, and we hope to see you guys next week. God bless.